So hi, it's Vidya Tara here today. I'm standing in for our intrepid college reporter, Parami, who's gone down to London. And with me on the couch, we have Karina Davey, who's public preceptor from the US. In fact, the only public preceptor we have there at the moment. And Padma Vajra, who's one of our longest standing preceptors, probably.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be talking to both of them a little about today's highlights, but we're coming to the end of the meeting. It's actually the end of the meeting proper, and tomorrow's the business meeting. So I'll get a view from both of them on how they've found the meeting in general. Karina Davey.
Well, it's wonderful. It's been wonderful to be here. This is my fourth meeting, and I think gradually, as I've come to these meetings, I've been feeling more and more relaxed, and I've gotten to know people better. That's a big part of it for me, really, just finding more about who people are, and then relaxing into being with this group.
I should imagine for you, being in the States on your own, it's a sense of comradeship that you can
get. It is very much. And it helps me to understand what the college is, what a public preceptor is. I'm starting to get more of a sense of that. Find my voice within that. I feel like I could do a better job of reporting back to the States about these meetings. And so I've had that very much on my mind this time.
And what's the highlight been of the last few days for you?
Oh, the study with Sabidi has been wonderful that we've been doing the last 2 days. I don't know if I can say too much about it. I've been taking lots of notes, and I'm looking forward to being able to assimilate more the information that he's given us on consciousness. And I've felt quite inspired by the study. Yeah. And what an opportunity it is to witness his presentation. I mean, he sits there without any notes and talks for like 3 hours about this subject. So you can really see that he has integrated it and is really speaking out of his own experience. It's just inspiring.
And Padma Vajra, how's the meeting been for you? You've been to a few of them now, haven't you?
I think it's been a very good meeting. I say I think because going to a college meeting is like entering another reality. And I really mean that. It's hard to sort of think about anything else. You know, I do look at emails and things like that, but I find that I almost can't think straight because there's just a lot of communication. I think very high level communication actually in the college meeting. And you know, I have the privilege of living with three other public preceptors at Padmaloka, and I'm in a highly resourced, highly articulated ordination process living at, as I do at Padmaloka, and it's really important for me to have an experience of other public preceptors. I was in a small group with Karina Davey, and we don't really know each other very well, but I found that really helpful, just having Karina Davey's perspective on things from the United States. We were talking about, the topic of discipleship and what that means, and you know, people's responses to that. And it was just a really good group exploring, you know, that word and you know, our own associations with it, what we've encountered with other people, you know, their associations with it. And it was a very, very constructive discussion, and it was very helpful hearing perspectives from different public preceptors from involved in ordination processes in different parts of the world.
Yeah, in some ways you don't think about the impact of the different cultural mores in these with these sort of things, where a word over here can have completely different associations. In different places, in the different areas. And I suppose this is really the only forum where you guys have an opportunity to talk that through. So is that...
Yes, I think dividing into these small groups was really helpful because in each time we were with different people, that's something that we don't always do in college meetings. I found that really helpful this time.
Really very good thing to do.
So in terms of the discipleship issue, how did that sort of unfold?
Well, we talked about it in these small groups, and then in the large group, I think the next day, or maybe it was just yesterday, I can't remember.
It's very hard to know.
The whole group discussed this issue, I think it was very good to hear. The relationship to the whole area of discipleship in relation to individuality and loyalty to teachers. I just found that.
I think there were two things that really struck me about the big discussion about discipleship, and I hope something we are able to communicate this. One was, I think, Karen O'Davey making the point that really trying to point out what discipleship isn't, because there's quite, the sort of negative associations that people have with that word, and really trying to, sort of name those. But the other important point I thought Subbuti made was that it really relates to ordination and Bhante's vision of ordination. And I think he made a really crucial point that this is a completely unique ordination. This is not like another ordination. No. Bhante's vision of ordination, the centrality of going for refuge, imagine in there is, it's neither monastic nor lay. Yeah. I think that's an extremely profound, detail that needs quite a lot of meditation. But his whole vision of ordination, that in a sense that's what it means to be a disciple of Sangharakshita. Mm. You are in that particular vision of ordination lineage. And then there are all sorts, there are other things.
It's interesting. For some reason or other, Tricycle have decided to put up one of the old interviews they did with Bhante from 1995.
Mm-hmm.
Back on there, they've republished it and it's on their page, but it's the one around.
Mm.
That whole area of what makes, FWBO as was, and Tri Ratna and WBO, what makes that ordination different? And in it, it's Bhante talking about the centrality of going for refuge. So it's quite interesting that this has come up, because it's just rereading that again yesterday.
Yeah.
And he is really clear around how that, the monastic lay, the centrality of going for refuge, and also the fact that we've got an equal ordination between men and women, which
that's a unique,
completely unique tradition. In any other spiritual tradition, really.
Well, it's quite interesting. A friend of mine was saying, he was concerned that the language of discipleship would undermine the centrality of going for refuge. And I had to say, but where did the idea of centrality of going for refuge come from? You didn't make that up. You can't find that in any other Buddhist tradition, as far as I know. It's Sangharakshita who is Bhante who had that vision, but I think that was a key clarification about that, that area.
Yeah.
But also I think what Karen O'Davey says is really important, about trying to go into what the real concerns are with the word and, what it isn't and,
There's been a lot of reaction to the word in the States, and wanting to have a sense of what did Bhante mean when he said that? What does it mean to him? And and dispelling the ideas, the preconceived ideas that we have about that word based on cultural connotations.
Yes. And it's true in England, people have difficulties with the word disciple. Some people do. I mean, when Bhante said it, I just felt honoured, because that describes my Dharma life. I've been to see Bhante today for the first time some time, and and it was really...
How was that?
It was just really lovely to see him. I just found it very moving seeing Bhante. Yeah, because I haven't seen him for quite a long time. But,
That reminds me of a video that somebody's probably already talked about this.
No, they haven't.
That Mokshananda did when he went to see Bhante a couple of days ago. And it's just like 4 or 5 minutes, I think. But it's so lovely to see him. And then he decided what was important for him to say to us was reminding us about the 6 emphases of the Theravada Buddhist community, which many of us... he feels that we should be talking about that doesn't he?
The 6 distinctive emphases.
Okay, so without wanting to put you both on the spot, and the uninitiated who are going to be listening to this, the 6 distinctive emphases are...
Well, it was interesting that, because Mokshananda asked Bhante, well, could you tell them? And Bhante smiled and said, well, I'm sure you all know.
Yeah, of course he would.
So, ecumenical is...
Yeah, ecumenical.
I think
the centrality of going for refuge is one of them.
Unity.
Unified order.
Unified.
And that's the minimum, equal ordination, isn't
it? Yeah. How many is that?
That's 3.
This is embarrassing.
I know.
I hope this isn't going out.
It is. That's okay.
The emphasis on arts and culture as a means of spiritual development. Team-based right livelihood. How many is that?
I think we're there.
Oh, we're there, a few.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's the order, but anyway.
Yeah.
No, it's good actually to be reminded of things like that. So many things that Bhante has mentioned over the years, and we can easily forget them. So it was a real, wake up for me to go do more with that.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's often that, it's simple. It's the material that he started off with.
Yeah.
And often gets covered over with.
Yes, yeah.
Because I was just thinking, too, when you were saying that, you and Subhuti, I'll give you a quick plug, are doing Eros and Beauty Part 2.
Part 2, straight after this.
And, at the last one, Chittaprabha, who was over, who's been around for a long time, what she loved about it was really touching back when she first came across Bhante in New Zealand the early 70s. And she said that was the way he taught.
Yeah.
That touching back, going into the beauty and the arts and teaching from that. So she was just talking about how lovely it is that there was people going back and looking at that again.
Yes, yeah. Well, I think one of the things I love about living at Papaloka and going for refuge retreats, being a public preceptor, is that I find it extremely helpful for myself to keep going over what it means to be a Dhammachari, a Dhammacharini, what it means to be an order member. And that means going reading and rereading and re-communicating, for example, the 10 pillars of Buddhism. So much about the order in that and so many things, and I find that far from it being same old, I feel I'm constantly rediscovering the significance of what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And I sometimes think that perhaps if order members had the kind of privileged position that I have, they would enrich their Dharma life perhaps a lot more.
So, back to today's study. Did you want to say anything about that? The highlights of listening to... Because today was day 2 of the study, wasn't it?
Yes.
That he's been doing. And I know yesterday we didn't have an audio boom last night because I think there was a day off. So, it'd be interesting to hear both of your takes on rambles around consciousness, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Well, today Subhuti got into the idea of the alaya, the storehouse consciousness, being related to imagination, which I found was really interesting. Yeah. And just talking about this whole area of imagination, how it manifests.
It's very hard to actually... in a sense, say much about this stuff. He was on terrific form. I mean, as Karen and David said, he was sitting there with no notes, and it was just pouring out. So, and you had an exploration of the Yogacara system of consciousness, based particularly on the treatise in 30 verses, but also in the light of his recent studies, particularly of Schopenhauer's world as will and representation, and Kant as well, which I know nothing, neither of which I know anything about. But relating that very, very strongly to some of Bhante's distinctive emphases, particularly his emphasis on the imagination, the relationship, in a sense, between samsara and nirvana, that sense of continuity between samsara and nirvana. It's not just about seeing through samsara. There's something positive that one's doing with one's inner dharma life, and the imagination plays such an important part in that, doesn't it?
And talking about the experience of the aesthetic experience and how important that is.
The aesthetic experience and the, as it were, dharmic or spiritual experience being so, well, so close to one another, even, you know, could be the same. But it was quite complex, extremely rich, very hard to keep up, actually. I must admit, I did start to have a feeling at the end. I think just talking about that, and towards the end he was talking about the teaching that the Buddha gives in the Anguttara Nikaya of this consciousness is luminous, but defiled by the adventitious defilements for the instructed Aryan disciple who sees this rightly. I say for him there is mental development or development of consciousness. It's interesting, just talking around that whole area. I don't know about you, Karen and David, but I still feel in touch with that kind of quality of consciousness to some extent, almost like there's this, might sound a bit fanciful, but this bigger consciousness that's sort of radiating it, which we're sort of in together or something like that. And it might sound a bit grandiose, but it's not actually, it's quite sort of ordinary in a certain sort of way. But there was kind of brightness in
there
the
was.
Room.
Was, just listening to him talk about it, and his radiance is it just has an effect on our minds and hearts.
Yes. Yeah, really lovely, actually.
So he's been having a bit of this conversation lately, hasn't he? He's been talking to Bhante about it as well, and I know he's done some rambles at the LBC. So I think for people who are interested, they could go to Free Buddhist Audio. I think
and in India, he's done a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I suspect Eros and Beauty 2 will have quite a bit of this in it as well.
I was going to say, just listening to you talking about the aesthetic, the importance of aesthetics, I was figuring that would be a nice segue into what you guys are going to be doing next week.
I mean, he's definitely pursuing something, I think, at the moment. But also, it was also very practical because he was relating it to, I mean, yesterday we had a whole discussion, didn't we, about sort of political views and
about
view. It was a discussion of views, but it ended up in talking about, you know, well, the state of the world.
Yes, what's happening now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dangers of certain views.
It's interesting. We're lucky enough. We're going to have him talking to the community. This is the Adhisthana community tonight, and he's going to be talking about views, which is great. Really looking forward to that. So Karina Devi, one take home thing for you. What's one thing you think you'll take home to?
I think my general sense of the college members of the public preceptors that gather here and the dynamic, the appreciation and affection and humor and individuality of people and the way that manifests and the way that they speak to each other and are with each other and playful sense. I mean, it just is, it's inspiring, and I just feel privileged to be able to witness that and to be part of it in some way.
It's just really lovely having you guys here. I mean, we do notice when the college is here, and I think it really gives Adhisthana a sense of place and being, a as well. And Padma Vajra?
I think I'd really echo what Karen and Davey said. I think Karen and Davey put it so well. I think we've all got on very well. I mean, there's been some tough talking as well.
Yes.
It's not as if we shy away from difficult things, you know, to engage with. And there are different views, for sure, about, you know, different things. You know, there's it's not as if we're just all nodding our heads and in assent to everything everybody says. It's much more, you know, there's a lot of variety, you know, and but what I think there is a strong sense of an overriding, you know, common purpose, and you know, and the really good thing is I mean, inevitably, where I am, I can think, well, right, this is what the order is, you know, where I live. I mean, I know that theoretically, but where I am, it's so focused. But, you know, just sitting here with Karen and Davey now, you know, I have a sense of, well, no, actually, the order is much, much bigger than that. Great though Papaloka is and what we do there. Mm. You know, this is, it's much wider and bigger than that. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you both very much for your time now, and yeah, for your service to the order and the Dhamma.
Thank you, Vijaya Tara.
Yeah.